the show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunkingly gorgeous, very skinny Jill Serkin.
So, new husband has just said, I just gave him all your handy tips that we had off air for getting wax out of the S-bend. And he says, I said hairdryer. Buy new S-Bend, which we'd already discussed this morning. Boiling water, but not from the hot tap, from the kettle. And then he said, sort of tight-lipped, yes, tried that. Got three plumbers now, like London buses. Because, you know, he's tried one and they're bars. And then he said, Liam's supposed to come this afternoon. I said, it's the talk of Bunker. And he says, if not, Twinkle's coming. He'll come tomorrow. Twinkle is our other plumber. I call him Twinkle. So he's obviously very frustrated, and he's got three plumbers going round.
Right, absolutely.
That'll cost a fortune.
It will.
Won't it?
Yeah, I hope he takes it out on you then, because it's your fault.
He's bound to.
Hey, right. We got two fabulous guests to talk to in a moment, but I just want to try and catch up with some of the tweets we've got. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted. She said, yes, please, could I have a Business Bunker shout-out? I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out. For the staff at Ironworks on Saturday who were rushed off their feet and still smiling. Great to see it so busy. Can I also have a mention for mention too for the lovely ladies who shared my art journaling creative workshop on Saturday? I've had such wonderful feedback. Well, of course you can, Tracy, and well done on another fantastic event, and we look forward to seeing you back at Ironworks in the near future.
And I'm just reading Sarah Marsh Collins. So she said, she said, the greyhound scream of death. I remember it well, where, you know, cutting claws. I'd forgotten I said that on air. I'm just looking because I know she said something to Hax. Here we are, Hax. She says, dear Hax, she says on Twitter, Africa is an amazing continent. I lived in Malawi for 4 years and visited Kasungu.
This is going to be funny.
Go on,
go for it, girl.
Kasungu.
Kasungu.
Safari park.
Kasungu Gongu.
Yeah. And Dad took a colour slide shot across the river into the long grass. Over the years, we've discovered seven cheetahs in that photo hiding in the long grass. Africa has a heartbeat all of its own. I totally agree. Thing I love about Africa, especially as well, as a curvy woman, I could sort of celebrate my curves, my bum and my boobs and stuff. And the colours, you know, like Cape Town, I bought beautiful dresses and things that were colourful. And, you know, they got it all going.
Yeah, I met a couple of lions in Botswana that would have celebrated your bum as well.
And not your mane.
Yeah.
But, you know, the colour, and like Hack says, that the scent and the smell and the sound, the minute you step off the train, the plane, whatever.
The train. You went by train, did you?
I've got Bob Beattie tweeting me as well.
Actually, there's some great train journeys in Africa.
Well, yeah, I did the Bulawayo one, and it's quite interesting because we went to Victoria Falls from Bulawayo. We stayed at the Bulawayo Club. Have you been to the Bulawayo Club?
No.
New husband and I were the only people there, as you can imagine. It's just as it was then. I think it might have changed. I think it might have been looted. I'm not quite sure. But it was amazing. So we found all these rooms, this beautiful polished dining room, huge. And we were rattling around, just me and the new husband. And then I said to the man, I'd found this little room. And there were all these beautiful Victorian deck chairs on the balconies, beautiful rattan, you can imagine, just, you know, from time gone by. And I said to the gentleman that was serving us, could I take a brandy and could I have it up on that balcony in those lovely chairs? And he said, would madam like a wee tot? And this is a young guy of 20, you know, that's just been passed down. And so we got the Bulawayo train, and we had a friend there who drove us around a couple of places because we went to see Cecil Rhodes. A lot of roadblocks. It was quite scary, actually. Lots of very young policemen with great big guns and things waving at us and stopping us. A lot of the wildlife had been looted from there, from that Cecil G park. I'm trying to think what the park's called. Should know. And so then we decided to get the train to Victoria Falls, and our driver was saying that you cannot go on that train. And New Husband said, yes, we've got first class. So we got on. And of course, again, from a time gone by, it's beautiful brass taps, lovely handle saying, please wipe the basin when you've finished for the next, you know, and the toilets no longer flush. The bunk beds that we had were black. And of course, I always travel with some eucalyptus oil, as you know, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got out a little cloth.
She's a witch. She has a little bag of potions that she takes everywhere.
So I was wiping down the stuff. And the sheets and that were holy. They were clean, but they were, you know, very holy. And then the door to the cabin wouldn't lock, and all the doors to the train were open. So at night I was going, who's that? Who's that? And, you know, New Husband's snoring away. And they're all jumping on as the train goes.
Yeah.
So it's quite scary, but we were fine. We lived.
Yeah. See, and in Zimbabwe, you failed at the Mulpani worm challenge as well, didn't you?
I ate two. I got a certificate.
I got two certificates and a free meal, which was another Mulpani worm.
Have you eaten?
Paul, that explains so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I've just given him these really exotic tea bags. It just shows his character, Leo. But, you know, these tea bags are holy basil. They're from India. They're very good for the immune system.
They're Christian tea bags, are they?
Yeah, they're Christian too. And, you know, most people would have one because they're quite strong. He's just had three in an hour. What does this say about his character, you know? One, I have one at night because they're quite calming.
I'm so laid back, it's unbelievable.
Yes. Holy basil.
I'm going to read this tweet, then talk to Stephen Bjorn.
Because
I'm really, really bored with you.
Yeah, I mean, I might go away again next week.
Yeah, I would if I were you.
Bye.
Jules will love this. This is Tracy Ferguson. Jules will love this. I received these two vintage Chinese notebooks to use in my art journaling as a belated birthday present from my lovely friend Jill. The string-bound ones are handwritten. I love vintage books and rescue damaged ones from charity shops. I use the paper to paint on.
Ooh.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So what is it? Vintage Chinese notebooks.
Yeah.
How amazing.
Yeah.
So what a lovely friend Jill is. Really a
Absolutely.
Lovely friend. She says the string-bound ones are handwritten. Did you say that? Did you read that bit?
Yeah.
I was reading.
She doesn't listen to a word.
Well, Bob Beattie's tweeting me about potholes.
She doesn't listen to a word I say.
It's extremely busy.
I could talk for hours and she'd just do the whole thing again. She'd just repeat the whole thing over again.
She's like your work wife, isn't she?
It is. Yeah. Exactly like that. Yeah, it is. It's like working with your mum.
And she says she loves vintage books and rescue damaged ones from charity shops. And she uses the paper to paint on. Did you say that?
I did. I said every single word of that because I just read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Well,
what can you do?
I prefer my.
There seems to be a lot of Johnny Depp floating around on these Twitter things as well. What's all that about?
Twitter
Jack Sparrow.
Very busy.
No, it's you lot all getting all previous about Jack Sparrow for some reason. I don't know what all that's about. Something to do with the potholes and how deep they are or something.
Yeah, well, Bob Beattie, who's an expert on all things sort of solar and heat pumps, all that, and he's Scottish as well.
Does that make a difference?
he says perhaps if they spent the money on several of these machines for a fraction of the price, either that or find some Roman soldier engineers to do the job once and for all. And he's got JCB launch a new machine that can fix a pothole in minutes for just £30.
Did you see that?
We all rush out and buy one.
The reason that Bob made reference to that, I can't remember where it was, but there was a pothole somewhere that had got so bad that it actually exposed the Roman road underneath it, which was still perfect. Yeah.
That's so ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Which is unbelievable, isn't it? Anyway, enough of that. We've got two fantastic guests we want to talk to, and we've been waiting for this for ages. We just couldn't get a word in with Jules, but I've shut her up now, guys.
Yeah, I've been away a week. You know, there's lots to catch up on.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Steve Wigley and Bjorn Haynes of AAC Group. That's Ashford Air Conditioning. Chaps, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Bjorn's done it before. Steve's his first time. So we're going to talk to Steve first. Steve, I believe AAC is your
virgin, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you can tell, can't you? Yeah. I'm glad there's a barrier between us because Steve is a bit of a big lad, really, isn't he? Yeah, in the nicest possible way. Steve, AAC is your business, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Steve, and then tell us about AAC.
Well, I don't think I could be as interesting as Hacks. I mean, I don't.
He made it up.
He's even got a great shirt.
Yeah. Beads. He's got beads around his head as well. Yeah.
Well, myself, I mean, I don't have any connection with Africa, but I definitely have connections with Kent. Right. I was born in Chatham.
Okay.
And I still live in Kent. Right. I still live in Medway Towns.
Okay.
Whereabouts?
I live in Stroud at the moment.
Stroud? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been there for quite a while as well.
Right.
But, I've been in this industry that I'm in now.
Are you man of Kent or Kentish man?
Do you know? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Everyone that says anything like that, I like.
You make it up.
Do you know? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They don't know. No one knows.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be somewhere on Google. You can find out. But I don't know. Yeah.
I think it moves anyway, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No worries. I say, when I left school at 16, it was, I didn't know what I was going to do in life. And, I flicked through the yellow pages, as you did, you know, back then, because it was a big yellow pages as well.
Spent a couple of days on that.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll be a plumber. Yeah, maybe I'll be an electrician. Maybe I'll be a painter, a decorator. I don't know. So I joined a construction company, and they did everything.
Right.
And as I joined them, they said, you're going to be an electrician apprentice. I was like, okay, that sounds okay. And I joined, and they said, do you know anything about air conditioning? Have you heard about that? I said, no, I have heard nothing about it. And they said, well, we need you to work with those guys because we've got this big project. And I said, okay, I'll go and do that. So 16 years old, I go off with these guys thinking I'm going to be an electrician, but I'm not actually going to end up being an electrician because I end up staying with those guys. And I end up going through my air conditioning apprenticeship instead. And I've been in that industry now for, 38 years.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
Thereabouts.
Cool.
So long enough.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you must have seen a massive step forward in technology.
Oh, things have changed so much. And I really like what I've seen as well, because once upon a time.
See, back in the day, air conditioning was a block of ice and a fan, wasn't it?
What did they call it? Punkaweller in the tropics?
Yeah.
No, what the changes have been, it's been where we once were one of the root causes for the environment going bad and downhill, you know, the ozone layer being destroyed by CFC gases, you know, and we were one of the industries that were, unfortunately, one of the major causes of the issue that was out there.
Right.
And then over the years, things have changed to better and better, and now we are one of the solutions.
Things go in circles, don't they?
They do.
Okay.
How does it work that you're now, it's changed, so you were a baddie and now you're a goodie?
Well, just over the years, where they used to use high CFC gases, you know, now that's changed, now they're more environmentally sound gases, and the equipment is so efficient, that it uses so little energy, that it's a more efficient way of heating and cooling than it ever used to be.
Now, Paul, you can say what you want.
Thank you. So, Steve, you signed as an apprentice accidentally. And obviously went through your apprenticeship. At what point did you decide to start your own business?
Oh, well, about 19 years ago it was.
What made you decide?
Well, the reason being is I was just working and just seeing how it was done by others and just thinking it could be better. It could be done better.
Yeah.
And the businesses that I work for, you know, they're good businesses. They're nice people. And, the people who benefited the most were always the business owner.
Mm.
And I wanted to start a business where that's not going to be the case. I wanted it to be that if I do well, we do well.
Mm.
And that's still the ethic that we have through the business. So if we have a good year, we all have a good year.
Yeah.
And if we don't have a good year, everyone does still have a good year, but me.
Okay.
But no, that's not quite true.
I've got to ask you a question, because you're a Medway Towns man and you still live in Medway Towns. Ashford Air Conditioning.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, what happened there?
Did you get kicked out?
No, well, when I started 19 years ago on my own, it was, I went as self-employed.
Right.
So I need to build up some capital before we could actually start a proper business.
Yeah.
So once I got some capital, I asked another guy who lived in Ashford. I said, would you like to partner up with me and start the Ashford Air Conditioning business?
Yeah.
And he said, okay. But at the time, we didn't have a name. So he said, well, what's the name going to be? And I said, well, I'm from Stroud. So it's going to be Stroud Air Conditioning Services. And he said, well, I'm from Ashford. So I think Ashford Air Conditioning Services.
And that was the time when the Yellow Pages was on, so A was a good one.
Well, you know, I was still thinking Strood Air Conditioning Services is better because the initials are SAS. And I thought, do you know what? That sounds really cool to me. So I would rather have that. But the way that we decided to make the decision is flip a coin. So we flipped the coin. I lost. So we ended up being Ashford Air Conditioning Services. And he had a house where he had a bit of a lean-to on it. And we could work in there as an office. And that was good enough for us to start off. So we ended up just getting based in Ashford because he lived here. He's no longer anything to do with the business anymore.
Right.
He's moved on now. But we've remained here because it's now our home for our company. Right. And
Have offices in Ashford?
Oh, we have an office here, full of terrific people as well. So we've been very fortunate to be able to get the right people in.
Okay, cool. I want to now move on and talk about air conditioning.
Okay.
Luckily.
That'd be cool.
Put me straight on this, but, you know, when you think about air conditioning, you tend to think of tropical countries, hot countries and stuff like that. And the UK isn't normally known for being, we have moments where, you know, the entire media melt down because for one day the temperature hit nearly 80 and then, you know, it doesn't for the rest of the year. And I am aware that air conditioning does different things, which we'll kind of explore in a minute. But as a layperson, when I think about air conditioning, it's one of those, do we really use air conditioning here?
Yeah.
We obviously do. But
I mean, it is still considered a bit of a luxury thing to have.
Yeah.
But we are becoming very spoiled. Mm. And we go to any office or restaurant or even your home in your car.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be hot. You don't want to be cool. You just want to be the temperature you want to be.
Yeah. And of course, again, put me right on this because I'm a lay person with this, but in my place in Tenterton, we have AC units which do the heating as well as the cooling.
I find that heating is often a bit drying. Am I right?
I think you're right. Can you
counteract that?
You can counteract
bowls
it, yeah.
Bowls of water.
Well, it depends on how much you want to spend on your air conditioning.
I mean, bowl
if
of
you
water.
Could have, you know, air conditioning with built-in humidifiers.
That
is a great thing to have, but the cost increases a little bit more and tend to unfortunately lose out on a price to a job if we price that kind of equipment into
when you're doing a new build. Can you hide the aircon so it doesn't look like great?
Yes, you can, yeah,
because that looks we have a place in Valencia and you know all the aircon looks so ugly.
I agree.
The houses,
yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be agreeing, I should be trying to promote the style and looks of it, but I think if you can hide it away it looks so much more tidy.
Yeah, so with a new build you can.
Yeah, you can.
And I know
you can do it in retrofit it into an older house as well. You just have to be creative.
And there are some machines that are much quieter than others, because I know that we had an old one and we used to spend the whole night like boiling hot in Spain, and then we turn it on and then we turn it off and we turn it on and we wake up and we turn it on again, you know.
Do you know, funny enough, that's a little bit of the sales thing that I tell to people, and I say it's not what you hear, you know, those units in Spain,
the
ones that just bang on outside your hotel room, you know, it's not like that.
You've got nice quiet ones. Okay, so do you deal with lots of different brands?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, you may notice on our tops we have Mitsubishi.
I took a picture.
And with Mitsubishi, we're what they call a high-level partner. We're a gold diamond partner. So that enables us to have longer warranties on our installations. Mm. But we would install any manufacturer if that is your desire.
Right.
We would try and steer people away from certain manufacturers because we feel they're not the right one. Because certain manufacturers make better other items, you know.
Mitsubishi is Japanese?
They are, yeah.
Okay.
They kind of lead the way, all the Japanese brands, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's bring Bjorn into the conversation. So what are you up to, Bjorn, in AAC?
I work in projects at AAC, so I work specifically on surveying and bringing quotes in, new customer types, bringing new custom into the business.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a different dimension to than what I'm normally doing, but it's something that the business needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Is your business primarily commercial with a bit of domestic? I mean, or is there a lot of call for domestic air conditioning these days?
There is a lot of call for domestic. There's more now than there ever used to be.
Right.
Because I think we're becoming used to the comfortable life, and we want to be comfortable at home.
Right. And where does this fit in with things like heat pumps? Because they're fairly similar technology, aren't they?
Oh, they are exactly the same sort of technology. Yeah. Exactly the same physics of how they work is exactly the same as air conditioning. Yeah.
And do you get involved with
heat
pumps?
And we do. Yeah, we do. Uh-huh. We do heat pumps. We do a lot more. We seem to have more on the commercial side where it comes to heat pumps than the domestic side.
Right.
The domestic side is virtually where people are getting the grants through the government initiatives.
Yeah,
heat pumps is a very cost heavy technology.
Yeah,
cost heavy.
Yeah,
so you've got to have a lot of money up front.
It's expensive. Yeah, and so for people in a domestic scenario, it's difficult.
Yeah, so is that the cost of the pump? Or the cost of installation or the cost of running? I know the answer to all of those because I have one, but not for my house. I have a heat pump for my swimming pool, and it is eye-wateringly expensive to run from an electric point of view.
I thought that was the whole point, was to have one to save money.
Well,
because mine is heated by a boiler, and it's crazy at the moment.
Yeah, well, my swimming pool was originally heated by a gas boiler that had gas bottles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the two, I can't remember what the biggest size was, 120 kilogram. I used to get through two of those a week, and it took 6 weeks to heat the pool. Bearing in mind they were like 70 quid a bottle. It was quite expensive. So I replaced it with a heat pump. Now, the heat pump was expensive to buy and it's expensive to run, but you only have to run it for 15 hours and the pool is warm, and then you throw a solar cover on the pool and you only need it to top up. So whilst the initial bill was expensive, the overall elapsed thing was a bit cheaper.
Because my boiler is constantly going to keep it warm.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Do you ever do swimming pool heat pumps?
Oh, yes, we do, yeah.
Nod and a wink. Coming up?
Yeah, we'll just give us a nudge.
Let's get you around for wine. Yes, that's what we'll do.
Absolutely.
Are you seeing a move... A large move towards heat pumps?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Yeah. And I do think it's the way forward.
You're right.
Yeah, I think it's... at the moment, like, as Bjorn was saying, it's not really something you get because you want to save money.
Right.
It really is something that is the right thing to do because environmentally, it's far more efficient.
Is it not actually becoming legislation in the future?
It is going to be, yeah. New builds especially are being now pushed that they can't not install them.
I was looking at an ad on telly, I think it was ITVX, and it had the heat pump thing was like a huge thing on the outside wall.
A little bit ugly having the outside unit.
So is that what you've got to have?
Well, there are a few different types. You can go for the ground source heat pump and you can go for an air source heat pump. The one you're referring to would be an air source heat pump.
So ground would be, you could bury it?
You could bury it, yeah. You could bury it.
Have you got yours buried, Paul?
No, it's an air source pump.
I've never noticed it at yours.
It's behind a pool house. Mm.
Again, the capital outlay, though, for a ground source is even more than an air source. Because you've got to dig a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Have you got a spade, Bjorn? Have you got a spade?
A spade? I do, but I don't know if I'm going to be digging that far down.
You haven't got a little pickaxe?
Oh, no, I've seen some scary movies about what happened.
Absolutely,
And so, I've been reading about it. So if you've got a nice period Victorian house, do you have to strip out your radiators and stuff?
It's so bespoke to the installation. You really have to go to every place and see what's going to be the best for them.
So I think for a new build, it would be great.
Sorry to interrupt. Is that something you get involved in, Steve?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I say, I've been around long enough in the industry now, I am quite versed in all of those technologies because they use the same physics.
Yeah.
You know, you can't change those laws.
Yeah.
So,
I mean... This is going to be a really daft question. Are they in the same unit, just configured differently, or, you know, just in a different case, as it were?
One sucks air out and one sucks it in, or something?
Not really. In a very basic way, they're pretty much opposites.
Right.
But
so how does it work? How does a heat pump thing work?
Okay, so
how does it get its energy?
You turn it on.
when you turn the thing on, it actually draws the outside air. In the case of an air source, it draws the outside air through the outside evaporator. Now, with the refrigerant running through that, all it's doing is it's the air itself is having an effect on the refrigerant, which is then transferred to the inside of the property via the pipework. To an indoor unit that then allows that to be exchanged to water inside of the property, whether that's via a tank or another exchanger plate inside of a box that then supplies hot water into the property.
So then are you also going to get, it seems to me you might get involved in solar panels as well, surely? Or is that another?
Solar panels?
Well, it's all part of the renewables industry, solar panels, but us as a business, we don't actually do solar panels. No.
Personally, I look at solar panels and I think from an electricity delivery standpoint, I don't really see it as too much of an issue. However, when you start to combine solar with heating, so your solar thermal type panels, I really don't think... This is my personal opinion. I don't believe that we have ideal circumstances at the global position of the UK to actually capitalize on solar thermal in the same ways as many other countries can do.
My oldest son lives in South France, and his house is entirely powered by solar panels. His heating is a pellet stove.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Pellet stoves are great, aren't they?
Yeah, biomass.
Yeah,
but you know, in Spain, we were wondering why people don't have solar on their roofs, and it seems
they
to be...
They haven't got roofs?
Roofs. No, they have roofs.
Oh, okay.
But it seems to be that there's a tax, there's a government tax, so even if you have solar and you're doing well with it, you have to pay a yearly tax to the government for the benefit, you know, for having a solar. So it puts people off. I'm not sure how much it is. I need to look into it.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
With what's happening. Yeah,
you're right. What we're trying to do, you know.
That's madness.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
But then it's Spain, Spanish government.
Yeah. I made a schoolboy error in my first heat pump. I bought a Chinese knockoff because it was cheap, and it only lasted about 18 months before it fell apart and nobody could service it. So I had to grit my teeth and buy a decent one. Okay, so, you know, you're in this industry that without being rude, you kind of struck lucky, really, because it's now become, as you inferred, Steve, that it's something that more and more people are doing. There's legislation to make new builds put in heat pumps. The government has tried to ban gas boilers, but they've had to U-turn a couple of times. The installed base is just so high. And of course, even with gas boilers, they last forever these days, despite what the gas boiler companies will tell you. Yeah. So, you know, people, and it's expensive to change, and people haven't got the money at the moment to change, but they will. And as time goes past, you know, like any technology, it gets replaced with new technology. So you guys presumably have a growing company.
Yeah, it's a growing industry. Yeah, absolutely right what you're saying. For anyone coming into the industry, I recommend it. I recommend new apprentices or guys like me, where they were looking in the yellow pages all back then.
Yeah,
they go through Google now. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Have a look, see what they want to do for a living.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the politicians push green jobs, don't they? And it's very much a renewables green job that you're doing there. So it's something that a lot of people would look for. I just did an event at a university in Canterbury, and a lot of the students are looking for work that has some kind of social responsibility around it. Yeah, so you know, that kind of thing kind of falls into that category. Yeah, it does. Doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, so interesting stuff. So What kind of geographical area do you guys cover with your services?
Oh, we do cover quite a big area now. Mm. I mean, we used to try to cover Kent only, right. Which is why we named ourselves Astrid Air Conditioning as well, because we want to localise ourselves and right. do work locally. Because when I was working for other businesses, the work was always London, and London every morning, yeah. you know, battling up the A2 to get there early before the rest of the traffic.
And now you ULEZ charge on top of that if you've got an old van,
costs a fortune.
Yeah.
So, but... We do work everywhere. We go kind of, we're still London and the southeast, but we go as far as Oxford and Reading. At the moment, we're getting a little bit successful in Reading, which is a bit disappointing because it's Reading. It's the distance.
Come on, Kent. Yeah,
we don't mind success, but we would like to drive less.
Yeah, absolutely. Within your business, is it more commercial than domestic, more domestic than commercial?
Well, we're definitely more commercial.
Right.
Domestic is a simple installation for us.
Right.
It's fine. We do plenty of them. If people would like us to do it, then we would do them.
Yeah.
You know, we're designed, we'll look at it, we fit it and commission it and hand it over to them to operate as they wish.
Right.
But for me personally, I just like the bigger, juicier commercial installations and those type of projects, just because they just hold more interest for me. But that is all. Yeah. There's certainly no problem with the domestic market. It's a good market.
There is a large amount of domestic stuff. And I think that a lot more of my time is spent on the domestic side of things, because generally where the big projects, the big commercial things that Steve gets into, they keep him held for a period of time, whereas the domestic stuff, where the installations can be a day, 2 days, 3 days, is a big install. Those are the kind of things that I'm actually going out and surveying. So I'm talking to people to get a look into their general domestic properties and have a look and see what they want and work something out for them.
So talk us through, Bjorn. You're called to a new customer that says, you know, I'm thinking of getting an AC unit or a heat pump or whatever it is they're trying to get. When you do a survey, what are the kind of things you look for? What are the kind of traps, if you like, you know, that people don't think about? If there are any, there may not be, but, you know. So when you arrive at someone's property and you drive into the drive or you park in the road in front, is there ones where you go, oh, no, here we go. It's a terrace house and they want it on the seventh floor or something, you know.
Sometimes you can kind of get a feel of something being maybe not the best type of scenario, somebody says, you know. They may want to have the outdoor unit put somewhere, and you look at the layout of the house when you get there and you think to yourself, this is going to be a whole lot of work to actually try and make this happen. And then the minute I cost this up for what they're actually looking for here, they're going to be astounded by the price. It's going to be way too much. They're not going to be happy with that. But those are the points when I actually try to talk to people.
Yeah, sure.
I look at things a little bit differently. A lot of customers that I talk to, they say, oh, I phoned somebody and they gave me a price over the phone. I generally think to myself, how did somebody really actually accurately give you a price over the phone? They haven't even looked at your house. Yeah. They've got no idea what sizes of anything are in there. Yeah. They trusted you to do all the measurements yourself. And them as a supposed expert in the field didn't take the time to actually come and see you. Not only that, but they've not spent the time to come and build a rapport with you as a person.
Yeah.
Come and talk to somebody. I want to see where you are, what you want done. I want to be able to talk to you and give you the potential options that are available. I want to save you money just as much as you want to save money as well.
Sure.
Because in the end of it, I would be happy for the company to have the business of doing the installation for you. So you have the experience of having a decent installation as opposed to getting something that gives you a wrong feel of what it can actually be done for you. So a lot of the time somebody may say that they want something in particular because they maybe saw it on television or they heard about it or they Googled something, and you know, everybody's a Google doctor now, so they maybe thought that they were an expert in some kind of a way. They gave some piece of information, they said, well, I wanted one of this because I heard it was great. Actually, that might not be the best option for you.
Sure.
Yeah. So for me, I look and say, well, look, I understand that this might be what you're looking for, you know, but let's understand the reasoning behind that. And if it comes to it, I can propose multiple quotes to you for you to take a look at it and see that what you are asking for is not really necessary and it's potentially far more expensive than you really thought it was.
Okay.
Did we talk grants? Did we talk about UK grants for homeowners?
Leave it out.
Homeowners?
Leave it out. Oh, not that grant.
No,
okay.
Not grant. Yeah. Grant. Okay. Get out of my pub.
Yeah.
Or you, get out of my
it's
pub.
It's not worth it. No, we didn't talk about grant.
No.
Steve?
Well, there are grants available out there. It's I'm not the best expert, actually, to be able to let you guys know on how to go about getting those.
Yeah, no,
but I do know social housing and those type of things are available out there for people to apply for.
The initial grants to do things like that have all been removed now. There are some grants still available, but not on a wide scale like they were when the government first wanted to push it.
Are there any grants for businesses, like offices and things, for heat pumps and things?
Well, it depends. It depends on what the grant is. You know, some councils offer grants. In the South East region, a lot of government money went through an organisation called the South East SELP, South East, whatever it was, a local partnership. So grant money all went through there. The government then decided to scrap local partnerships and put the money directly into borough councils. So each council has its own way of spending its own money. Mm. So some of it, you know, like I saw a council last week giving money away to make public places breastfeeding friendly. Okay. I gave it a try, but they wouldn't give me a grant. Whereas others will still give you a grant for solar panels or a heat pump or whatever as a business. Yeah, they're not doing domestic ones. But yeah, guys, fascinating subject. As you say, renewables are the future and people are learning about air conditioning, heat pumps and all the other things that go around this as we move forward. It's going to be one of those things that will eventually replace gas boilers. From a heating point of view, we wish you continued success with your business. Thank you for joining us. You've got a website where people can come out and find out.
There is a website, yes. Yeah.
Give us a shout for your website.
Do you know, I wish I did the website.
I've listed it on the radio website.
I think we're just www.ashfordac.co.uk.
I'll tell you in 1 second.
Or AAC Group now. I think we changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, it's aacgroup.co.uk. But there's a link on the radio website anyway, so you can, if you go into the radio website, you can find it there. And then you can email them and bother Bjorn with some really stupid requests so that he has to come out and go, absolutely, you can't have that, you got to have this.
Yeah, I like people to do that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Happy.
Put him on the spot.
It's great when people ask questions.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's the perfect thing to do. If you're not sure, ask a question. I'm not going to eat you for it.
Yeah.
You know, ask me the question and I'd be much happier explaining it to you than you sit there and have no idea or unfortunately get caught up with a lot of people that can actually steer you the wrong way.
Yeah.
And as Steve and I have seen this morning on a few things, massively overprice you for no reason.
Well, this is one of the things that happened with gas boilers. A huge number of gas boilers that have been installed are vastly overconfigured for what they are. They just don't, they're just not needed, but they've been oversold.
But also plumbers now have to add an extra bit of money, don't they? I saw a couple of letters. I think they have to add 70 quid on or something.
No, that's been scrapped now.
Has it?
They U-turned that. That didn't last 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who scrapped it?
The government.
Good.
They got their heads kicked in over it.
Good.
So.
Perhaps they'll do the 20 mile per hour.
What,
next.
What it was they said that heating suppliers had to supply X amount of heat pumps.
And that's
if they didn't, there was a fine. So what the boiler companies were saying, well, they'll just add it to the price of a boiler.
Yeah.
Which worked out about 70 quid a boiler.
Yeah.
And then the government realised they were going to get their heads kicked in, so they scrapped the whole thing.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. Steve, Bjorn, thank you so much for that. Brilliant stuff. Stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. I've got loads of stuff to tell you about and not very much time, so I'm going to gabble my way through some of this. Tomorrow, on the 6th of March at the Island Works Dockyard Church Sheerness is my friend Matt Jeffrey, and he's running a Mindset Reset workshop. Come along and join the fun on the journey to mastery of mind, he says. If you want a free ticket, you can use the promo code SBN100 and get yourself a free ticket to the event. And to get to the event, you need to go to eventbrite.co.uk/733870028. You're going to remember that. You don't need to. It's on the Kempis Radio website, so you can click on it there. That's the Mindset Reset workshop happening with Matt Jeffrey tomorrow at Island Works.
And Southeast Water have been tweeting me about me saying that we need to build reservoirs rather than potholes. I'm saying that we need to.
Can I unblock your drain?
Oh, maybe. But they've sent me about six tweets, so I'll have to read them later. And then Stephanie Young says hello from a South African listener, and to Hacked, and she is, you can follow her on Steph Young ZA South Africa. So there you are, Hacks. You've got a new fan. And
she read that just so that she could do her South African accent.
Yeah, and Cape Malay.
Yeah.
Which I use all the time. Do you like Cape Malay, Hacks? You do, don't you?
Yes.
Cape Malay. It's a really good spice.
I don't know him.
It's a really good spice. You don't wear one, do you?
No. Too tight.
Yeah.
I had one once where it was too tight. Yeah. Alicia Russo receives the honorary freedom of the Borough of Maidstone. Maidstone Borough Council has awarded England ladies footballer Alicia Russo honorary freedom of the borough. That's a nice thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a shame you show up playing for Maidstone when they were playing Coventry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they did really well. They did really well to get to the
first round. Oh,
absolutely,
yeah. NTNPR says, Orpington, where I live, has a chap famed for putting plastic ducks and towers and things in Bromley's potholes. He has had his busy times.
There's Marsh Network, breakfast meeting at the Ship in Dimchurch, taking place on the 28th of March. This is a face-to-face meeting, and you can find out all about it and book your ticket by going to kempisradio.co.uk/Canada.
And there's nearly a quarter of business owners don't feel very optimistic about their business succeeding in 2024. This is very sad. According to new research released today, the nationwide survey commissioned by Speaker's Corner drew responses from 500 business owners and directors with at least 20% equity for companies with at least 100 employees. With rising costs, economic volatility and technical challenges given as the main three reasons for their outlook, the next 12 months look to be a challenging for many. I would add EULAs to that. Steve, how many do you employ? We didn't ask.
Oh, we're only a small firm. We're 18 employees.
Oh, that's quite big, though.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I always consider that small, but
Keely Woolley of Metamorphal Success has got a Receipt and Restore retreat coming up. It's an all-inclusive three-day retreat. Unwind, rewind and thrive. It's heart of Bedfordshire, and the next date is the 12th to the 14th of April. You can find out all about it by going to her website, which is Metamorphal Success. metamorphorsuccess.co.uk.
Brilliant. And I just saw AAC tweet their website out, and now it's gone.
That was our contact email address. So it's
can you read it out? Because it's flashed off mine.
Okay, it's info@aacgroup.co.uk.
Brilliant. There's going to be hot desking there, you know, phone ringing off the hook, email ringing off the hook.
Emails ring off the hook, do they?
Well, my last bill, because we've got an indoor pool, which I swim in, that's why my hair looks like this, our bill is now about 600 a month.
But Jules, your hair has turned from dark brown to blonde.
Because I'm grey.
But if you're swimming and that's what's changed your hair colour, maybe just too much chlorine in the water.
No, it's because I'm grey, so I had to go blonde. Everyone over 50 has to go.
She's well old.
Blonde.
Right.
Yeah, 66.
I need to get through these. Stop chatting.
Yeah, Paul needs to go blonde.
Yeah, I do. Maidstone Apprenticeship Fair, supported by Maidstone Borough Council. The Maidstone Apprenticeship Fair returns for its sixth year on Friday the 8th of March, and there are still opportunities for Maidstone businesses to reserve a stall on the day to showcase their apprenticeship opportunities. The fair already has over 1,600 students signed up to attend. It's taking place at the Maidstone Leisure Centre in Moat Park, Maidstone, Friday the 8th of March, 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. To find out more or book a place or book a stand, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada.
Who's this reaching out? Anne Austin is reaching out. She is a railway researcher and a tour guide. She has a little website. I'm going to read that out first in case we run out of time. So it's talesfromthetracks.com. I like that. Talesfromthetracks.com. And she's asking for help promoting a special event. A bit like Hax's, it's going to be in Ashford. Volunteer Recruitment Day at the Ashford Museum and Ashford People's Library. And it's on Saturday the 9th of March, 11 till 2 p.m. and the location is Ashford Museum Conservation Annex, which is 57 High Street, Ashford, Kent. Hax, where is your is that near you? You?
No, it's,
and you're the 22nd,
I was in
aren't you?
Bank Street, which is right to, you know, in the middle of Ashford.
You and Liz,
town, really? Yeah.
What was your date again?
21st
of March.
Of March,
which is
8 till 4. It's a Thursday.
Brilliant. So we've got two events coming up in Ashford.
Parking's really easy, by the way.
Good. That makes a change. Anne Austin is saying, we believe that the Volunteer Recruitment Day chimes well with your listeners, offering an opportunity to showcase the importance of community involvement. There's one for who we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And the significance of preserving local heritage. We believe that the coverage of this event will resonate with your audience and inspire others to get involved in meaningful ways. So it's bringing together the community who are passionate around Ashford about history, education and community engagement. And there'll be the opportunity to learn about the various volunteer roles. That's perfect for Matthew Kisley.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll send that to you.
Thank you.
I heard you smack your lips then, so you've got something to read out, I can tell.
I got two dozen things to read out, but I'm not going to make it because there's only three minutes.
But we had lovely guests.
There's only 3 minutes left because you keep talking.
Yeah, lovely guests.
Generation for Change. After our incredible launch event in October last year, we're thrilled to confirm our next event will be taking place on Thursday the 7th of March at the Boom Battle Bar in Canterbury. With games and good times on tap, you won't want to miss this. Join the G4C Kent Club from 4 p.m. for networking with a twist. Are you waiting for this? They've got axe throwing.
Hax has got a spear.
They've got axe throwing, darts and mini golf.
Oh.
Right, a business networking event. You'll not be short of entertainment. Your welcome drink is on us. They're going to give them alcohol as well. They're going to give them alcohol and an axe. That's a recipe, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Your welcome drink is on us, along with light finger food. So come along and enjoy an afternoon of networking and catching up with our next gen community. As always, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find the details and book your place to get drunk, throw an axe and eat some finger food. That's well sold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay, what have you got?
St. John's Ambulance will be in attendance.
you read the Marsh Network, but there's one at Base Point in Shearway. Did you read that one?
No, you can read that.
So that is a breakfast network with Base Point. It's at Shearway, as I said, Business Park in Folkestone. Mm. It's on March the 19th, 7:45 until 9 in the morning. Go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. As always, everything we've mentioned today will be on the business website, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Okay. The Southeast Construction Expo is a free innovative conference and exhibition which includes a networking breakfast, a women in construction lunch, a gala dinner for contractors, developers, consultants, architects and related industries. It's taking place at Sandown Park Racecourse in Surrey on the 1st of May. And it's free to attend. It's a big event. It's been running for many years. You can find out all about it by going to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Swanley Networking. I just like that. I like the word Swanley because you're swanning, can't you? We hope you can join us for the next Swanley Networking meeting. It's a modern business and events centre called The Meeting Point. Provides spaces for individuals, businesses, events and community groups. You can find out more on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But The Meeting Point, the next one is March the 13th from 10:30 till midday. And the entrance to chamber members is free. If you're not, you can go in £15 entrance fee.
Fantastic. Make your business a winner. The Kent Business Awards is open to all businesses in Kent and it's free to enter. Over the past 8 years, the Kent Business Awards have become a sought-after award for local businesses in Maidstone, Medway, Tunbridge Wells, Ashford and Canterbury and their surrounding areas who have gained promotion and recognition from their local community. So what it is there's individual awards.
I'm saying Steve must enter.
Well, there's individual awards in Maidstone, Tunbridge Wells, Ashford and Canterbury and their surrounding areas, and then there's an overall Kent award as well. Uh-huh. And there's 12 categories within each region, and the categories are startup, micro business, that's under 10 employees, small business, over 10 employees, medium business, over 50, creative digital and innovation, customer service, best family business, best construction business, best hospitality, leisure and tourism, best food and drink, businesswoman of the year, and there's a new award which is sponsored by AHM, All Health Matters, and that's for health and well-being strategies in work. And then there's the McIntyre Hudson Accountants Sustainable and ESG Business of the Year. This special award recognises the businesses that's taken its environmental or social governance and financial performance to new heights in an effort to achieve a sustainable future.
Bob Beattie has said, I told him that we were discussing heat pumps. He says, without me, how very dare you? And he says, I was doing a presentation on heat pumps to the NHIC Council this morning. Anyway, what's NHIC? National Highways?
NIC? What?
NHIC.
It's a certificate for housing quality, a build housing quality.
You see, yeah. I could tell you'd know, yeah. Steve. Steve's going to enter the business awards, he said. We'll vote for him.
Yeah, okay. Go for it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just trying to see if there's anything we've missed, but we haven't got any more time anyway because we've run out of time. I want to say a huge thank you to our guest this week, Hax.
Thank you very much.
And we wish you much success with your exhibition. Thank you for that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. To Steve Wigley and Bjorn Haynes of AAC Group, thank you so much.
Well done, guys. Interesting.
To my co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. The Business Bunker